Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that discusses political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today, let's get back to basics. What is the gospel that we preach, that we have received, and by which we are saved? Is it religion? Is it morality? Well, those are precursors to the gospel. But those elements are not the gospel. Religion and morality can be found in many religious systems. The Jews in Jesus' day had religion and morality. But the gospel is far beyond this. Remember, religion and morality failed. Jesus came to bring a new covenant with man, where he would put the law of God within them and write it on their hearts. Jeremiah 31:31 and Ezekiel 36:26. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. The promise is of a new heart that causes people to want to love God and to want to keep his law. And this is what Jesus was speaking of to Nicodemus when he said to Nicodemus, the rabbi, in John chapter 3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and do not understand these things?" So apparently, even this well-educated rabbi didn't understand that people cannot be changed by religion and morality. They need a supernatural transformation by the Holy Spirit called the new birth. And the biblical theological definition of the new birth is the impartation of a new nature or a new heart. It's also called in the Bible regeneration, meaning the imparting of life, a new Genesis. Just as in the book of Genesis, God breathed into man and he became a living soul, having become dead in the fall, man needs a new Genesis, a second birth. And regeneration is the act of God by which the governing disposition of the soul is made holy. Titus 3:5, we have been saved by the washing of regenesis or regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. Regeneration is not something we do to ourselves. It is something that God does to us. After we express genuine faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ as being our Savior from sin, then something supernatural happens in the heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." Romans 8:10, "Yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, "Even when we were dead in our transgressions, God made us alive together with Christ." And then the Apostle Paul, in the book of Galatians, in confronting the legalists who thought the faith was simply about making better moral choices and about religious practices, Paul writes the following, Galatians 6:15, "For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." That's the gospel we proclaim. And in the book of Galatians, Paul is contrasting those who taught religion versus the true gospel, the good news that people can be miraculously transformed. And Paul begins the book of Galatians by saying that there are some who are bringing a different gospel. "I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." So what is this different gospel? It is the gospel of religion and morality A gospel that doesn't teach that man has a fallen nature. A gospel that teaches that man does not need the new birth. Even C.S. Lewis, in his great work, Mere Christianity, which was based on radio broadcasts to explain Christianity to unregenerate, unsaved Brits during World War II, Lewis points out that the unique message of the gospel was not nice people, but new men. Quote, "A world of nice people, content in their own niceness, and looking no further, turned away from God, would be just as desperately in need of salvation as a miserable world, and might even be more difficult to save. For mere improvement is not redemption. God became man to turn creatures into sons, not simply to produce better men of the old kind, but to produce a new kind of man." Unquote. Well, that's the gospel we preach. And religionists and moralists and conservative pundits don't understand this. They don't even know what to do with this. It is totally outside of their consideration because they think changing America comes about by teaching better morals, by political education, by logical refutation of liberal ideas, or even just by being a believer in God, a theist. They don't see themselves and others as being spiritually dead. They don't even believe that there is a new birth. They see the gospel as simply choosing better ethical guidelines. They don't even know that the Bible speaks about a supernatural transformation. It's like trying to explain what colors look like to a blind man. How do you explain the difference between blue and red to a person who has never seen? So if you've never experienced a new birth, you have no idea what it is, and so therefore it's totally off of your radar. And so when you are in a conversation about religion with conservative patriots, you're actually speaking on different wavelengths. The Christian is thinking America needs to turn back to the Christian religion, where many people are changed in their nature by receiving the gospel. Whereas the typical moral conservative patriot is thinking America needs to turn back to the Christian religion, that is, people simply need to once again believe in God and God's law. That being a theist and choosing to be moral is all that it takes. And this all comes about simply by human persuasion and education. And it's very easy for Christians to forget in such conversations and in such venues that there are really two different gospels being discussed. Their gospel is not the biblical gospel, and their religion is really not the Christian religion, although the same terms are being used. So let me tell you why I'm addressing this very important, overlooked, critical issue. A couple of weeks ago, I attended a local Tea Party meeting. Yes, local conservative activists still run Tea Party meetings. These tend to be moral people, patriots, who see the foolishness of statism and socialism, and they want to return America to her roots. I get these invitations to various tea parties in the state of New Jersey. And every once in a blue moon, I actually have some time to attend. Just to see what's happening, see what people are talking about. At this particular meeting, they were showing Lesson 10 of the Truth Project about how America has fallen from her constitutional roots. Now, the Truth Project is a series of educational videos put out by Focus on the Family back in 2011, I believe. I heard many Christians speak well of it, but I never had the opportunity to watch the series. From what I heard, it sounded like a compiling of solid evangelical Christian teaching about apologetics, history, and culture. And this is a good thing. A one-stop shop to get Christians up to speed with a biblical worldview. And that is what Focus on the Family says on its website. Quote, in a recent study, the Barna Research Group revealed a stunning statistic that continues to reverberate throughout the evangelical world. Only 9% of professing Christians have a biblical worldview. To counter this slide within the body of Christ, Focus on the Family has launched one of the most ambitious and powerful projects in the history of our ministry, the Truth Project. The Truth Project is a DVD-based small group curriculum comprised of 13 one-hour lessons taught by Dr. Dale Tackett. This home study is a starting point for looking at life from a biblical perspective. Each lesson discusses in great detail the relevance and the importance of living the Christian worldview in daily life. We believe this one project represents the possibility for exponential change within the body of Christ. Millions have been transformed by this curriculum. We invite you to become part of this cultural change by participating in or leading a small group of your own to watch the Truth Project. So, as I'm watching this video at the Tea Party, it is very informative. It's very compelling. It reminded me of David Barton's Wall Builder videos, where many quotes are given from the Founding Fathers, showing that the founders of our Constitution were religious men, and showing how America has abandoned her roots. John Adams, "Statesmen, my dear sir, may plan and speculate for liberty, but it is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom securely stands." John Adams again, "We have no government armed in power capable of contending in human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other." Benjamin Rush, "The only foundation for a republic is to be laid in religion. Without this, there can be no virtue, and without virtue, there can be no liberty. And liberty is the object and the life of all republican governments." Samuel Adams, "Religion and good morals are the only solid foundation of public liberty and happiness." Patrick Henry, "The great pillars of all government and of social life are virtue, morality, and religion. This is the true armor, and this alone renders us invincible." George Washington, "And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principles." Daniel Webster, "To preserve the government, we must also preserve morals. Morality rests on religion. If you destroy the foundation, the superstructure must fall. When the public mind becomes vitiated and corrupt, laws are nullified and constitutions are waste paper." And so in listening to all of these quotes, everybody gives a hearty amen. Our founding fathers got it. For America to succeed, we must maintain religion and morality. But do you sense that there's something missing here? When I asked that question of the group I was with, nobody saw a single thing missing in that presentation. In fact, I would dare say that if that video was shown in a church setting, most church audiences would also think that it was a perfect presentation of America's spiritual need. But what was missing in that presentation was the heart of the gospel itself. Everything presented in that video, the Pharisees in Jesus' day would agree with. They wanted their nation to turn back to religion and morality. They believed the answer was returning to and keeping the Jewish people under the law of God, believing in God, maintaining theism. And you can preach that message and be applauded in almost any conservative or religious venue. But Jesus came and he presented something radically different from religion, theism, and morality. "Nicodemus, you're a teacher in Israel? Do you not realize that the only answer is that a man is born again?" Remember our biblical history. The law, religion, and morality had been tried and it failed. It failed in the entire history of the nation of Israel. Because man is corrupt in his nature, and the law and morality cannot change man. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19, the law makes nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. What is that better hope? It's the new covenant, the supernatural, miraculous conversion of the soul. And the only hope for America is not nice people, but new men. See, what has to happen in America is to replace every citizen in America with citizens who have a different nature, the nature of Christ. We have to kill off every single citizen in America and repopulate the land with a different species, with a different creation, with new people. Because as Jesus said, a bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Doesn't matter how much you prune it. Doesn't matter how much you fertilize it. Doesn't matter how much you debug it. A bad tree will not bring forth good fruit because it's rotten to the core. Matthew 7:17. So every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. So we need to kill off all these old citizens and replace them with new supernatural citizens. Now, how do we do that? Well, not with human weapons. But this is salvation, the death of the old man replaced by the life of a new man. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. It's not speaking about water baptism. It's speaking about spiritual baptism. And this is the gospel, new life in Christ. And America was not successful because of her morality or her constitutional beliefs. America was successful because it began with a large number of new men and women in Christ who had a salt and light effect on the entire culture. Now, one of the quotes in the video presentation I found to be quite misleading and insufficient. It was from a letter by John Adams to the Massachusetts militia, 1798. He wrote, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge, and gallantry would break through the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through the net." Picture in your mind the image here. The whale is man in his sinful condition. And he will break through the constraints of the Constitution. But wait a minute. Do you think morality and religion are strong enough bridles to keep the whale of sinful man from going through the net? The net that the whale will go through is not just the Constitution, but morality and religion itself, as it's reflected in the Constitution. And consider this. Our founding fathers and that generation tried morality and religion to keep America right. Didn't they teach? Didn't they pray? Didn't they set up good institutions? Didn't they write good documents? Didn't they warn enough? Do you think the moral decline in America was due to their failure to establish good enough restraints in regard to religion and morality? The point is that the religion and morality in the 1790s couldn't keep America right. Now, I know what some people would say at this point. Pastor Brad, you're just getting this all wrong. When our founding fathers spoke about the need for morality and religion, and when this Truth Project video speaks about the need for morality and religion, the new birth is being included in this appeal to the Christian religion. It is implied that our founders were referring to gospel conversion. Well, first, why didn't they say this then? A good theologian would not leave out the difference between religion and the unique message of the gospel. And I have read plenty of Puritan and Reform works from that time period. And the Christians at that time made a distinction between religion and morality and the true gospel. The classic work Pilgrim's Progress even made that distinction. And the Christian theologians at that time would never say that religion and morality will keep this nation right. So what we're getting from our founding fathers is a watered-down version of the gospel. They were not accurate gospel teachers. And in neglecting the gospel, they actually became part of the problem. Now, fortunately, Christian churches in early America were ignoring these men and preaching the whole gospel. But if we go back to the political founders as teachers of what is the saving virtue for America, we're never going to save America. Each generation will break through religion and morality as much as they break through the Constitution. The founding fathers missed this. Many evangelicals today miss this. But let's not miss this ourselves. Let's not be deceived by another gospel, which is really not another gospel, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. I believe that what I am presenting today in this program, though it's very simple, is likely the most important God and country program I have done in a long time, because it's getting at the heart of the real battle of the ages. Morality and religion versus the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are two separate roads. And I guarantee you, I will be excoriated by some people for this program. There is a large body of conservatives, even professing to be Christian, who believe theism and morality is enough. And this is the offense of the cross. The offense of the cross is not religion, it's not morality, it's not traditionalism, it's not conservatism. The Apostle Paul would not have been persecuted for preaching any of those things. The offense of the cross is that the one who through a supernatural enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, is changed in his soul. Religionists don't like this. Moralists don't like this. They don't even understand this. Now, maybe you're a Christian and you have not been seeing this very clearly. You've been led astray by secular conservative ideologues, by religious moralists. And you have forgotten the gospel we preach. So, Christian, get back to appreciating the new birth. Re-educate yourself in what the gospel actually is. Now, for the unbeliever who's listening, the religionist, even the theist or the moralist, you need to come to understand that what you preach is not the message of Jesus. That your message has been tried and it has failed at Mount Sinai. That's why it's failing today. And you need to seek Christ until you experience the new birth. Because unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God on earth or in heaven. You've been listening to God and Country Radio, the radio website to listen to this program again, or to download it, or to share it, is godandcountryradio.org. Check out my YouTube channel for extended versions of these radio programs. On YouTube, type in God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thank you for taking the time to make God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help your people to discern the subtleties of the gospel of man versus the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For only those who are born of God overcome the world. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.